Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
105.3 FM HD2. This is Tom Fitzmaurice with the second course of The Food Show. It's our program about food, about restaurants, cooking and wine and all those things, whether it's upscale or whether it's downscale. If you are somebody who just doesn't go for that fancy eating, call us anyway, because we talk about all the other stuff, too. And it could be, it's possible that you might be looking to know a little bit more about the great food that we have in New Orleans, America's best eating city. And we can supply you with a lot of that. All you have to do is call us. We have a conversation. It'll become very
convivial.
Exactly.
Convivial.
And as soon as
what
we get
that
vivial.
Nun's name? What was that nun's name who said you shouldn't use words like that? She wouldn't like that one either.
The only one I can remember, and she was the principal, and I don't think that was her, is Lucy, Sister Lucy.
Sister Lucy, okay.
But I can't remember.
Who told you that? I'm surprised, Tom, because if someone had been as in, because you remember everyone in your past life. So if you had a teacher that was that instrumental in shaping your future to get you interested in the New Yorker, which has been a lifelong thing for you, I'm surprised that you don't remember her name.
I'm not very good at remembering names.
Really?
My shame. Yeah. that would be.
But these nuns,
look into it.
Sister Eugenia, that was one that I remember.
Sister
See, if
Eugenia,
I know about Sister Eugenia, then
I remember Sister
I've heard
Eugenia.
Her name more than a few times.
She taught me in first and second grade.
Yes, she was very, very instrumental.
Yeah,
in
and
the
her,
shaping
and
of
her
Tommy.
Instrument was the violin.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, so we started this blather fest about an hour ago with Michael, who was calling on behalf of his girlfriend, which, by the way, was very sweet, I thought, for him to be concerned about his girlfriend enough to call us and ask places that she might be able to get the kinds of soup that she loved in her hometown of Minneapolis, where it gets really cold, as
really
everyone knows.
Cold.
So it's understandable that soup would be sort of a big part of her heritage. It's really not here. We have our standards, and we have really fine restaurants that serve really great gourmet soups. But I did put out the question to anyone who knew where a good chicken noodle soup could be found.
Well, maybe we'll find one or more than one.
Or a great vegetable beef soup. And I told him he had to drive to the North Shore to Keith Young's to get the vegetable beef and to Metairie to get the chicken noodle from Kosher Cajun Deli. So I thought I'd throw that out again for this hour. If you happen to have some idea, that would be great. We would appreciate that. And we have a guest at the half hour. So if you want to call us, you need to call us within this half hour, 260-6368, as Dave has done. Let's go,
Dave.
Dave
is here. Dave, welcome to the food show.
Hi, Dave.
Hello, Tom.
Hi, Dave. Good afternoon to you. Yeah. I'm glad you called.
Well, we're heading from the North Shore, heading to Antoine's.
Are you?
What's your recommendation? Yes.
How many times have you been there in the past?
Well, it's been a while since we've been, you know, we just don't get into town as much as we used to.
I know the feeling, because I live over there, too. So,
right.
Antoine's, a lot of restaurants would get criticized for going as long as Antoine's does without getting new menus and new restaurant ideas. It actually is always changing, but it's not changing a lot. So if there's something
right.
that you remember getting there that you thought was really great or really terrible, you can pretty well count on the fact that it's going to be the same way now. I haven't seen many examples otherwise. And you really, I mean, all the dishes I've loved there are still there. So this is one of the great things about these Grand Dame restaurants is that they never let go their big hits.
What are your favorites over there?
Actually, the oysters. Any way they do them.
Me too.
I love it. Yeah, that's my favorite. If I was going to the electric chair, that's what I'd have.
Well, you actually could be here, but anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's
I'm
hope
sorry.
That there's another reason for you to get them other than that.
Your timing was absolutely perfect.
Yeah, it was almost as wild a ride as just sitting here with Tom on a daily basis. So, you know what I have to get at Antoine's every time I go is that platter with the crab meat, ravigat, and the shrimp remoulade.
Perfect for you, and because it's basically a big salad with big chunks in it, and real nice seafood, and that is a. I'm always recommending that to people.
It's a staple.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. We'll give that a try too, because we have a group going.
Okay.
Sure. Mm-hmm. All right. They have good steaks. They have really good steaks too.
There's a sleeper dish over there. That I would recommend to you if you want to try something a little bit new. It's a chicken Rochambeau is the name of the dish. And it is it describes itself pretty well. It has three different sauces on it. One of them is this really interesting brown sauce that's a little on the sweet side. And then on top of that is béarnaise sauce, and you put it all together, and you understand why the first guy, the first waiter I ever had at Antoine's, said, "What you feel like eating?" And I said, "Well, I was going to try something, that's fancy." And he said, "Okay, here is what you want. You want the things with a lot of sauce on them. All right, this one or this one." It was good advice, and I still, whenever I get chicken Rochambeau, I think, boy, I'm glad I got that time, because I don't know if I would have ordered something like that.
Must to order that, and then we'll all try it. Okay,
there you go.
Have fun. Sure you will.
Yeah, I love Antoine's. It's my favorite restaurant. I've said that.
It's your favorite restaurant in the whole world.
A long time. And I'm overdue. Doggone it. I haven't been there in so long.
What, like 2 months?
No, more like 6 months or longer.
I don't know.
You don't think so?
I think it's not been that long.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I know it hasn't been that long because we went there for lunch, and that was when I got your car towed.
Oh, no. Well, maybe.
How could you have forgotten that,
Tom? It might be because I was trying not to remember that.
Why did I remind him of that? 260-6368 is the number. That was only a couple of months ago. It was in the summer, I remember. So,
Well, I'm a forgiving kind of guy.
Yes, you are. You are a much more forgiving person than me because, I don't, and you do. That's true. So we are going to have a woman from California who is a real estate agent on at the bottom of the hour, and she has written a book about breakfast with a lot of gorgeous pictures.
It's
called The Art of Breakfast. Call us now.
You told me about that, and I was thinking that is such a great idea. I can't believe that someone hasn't also done it before, but I couldn't find anything easily.
It's not your kind of breakfast, though. Isn't your kind of breakfast kind of much more
sauces
fundamental than that?
And fundamental?
Yeah. I mean, these are brunchy kind of things.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, piles of glamorous food in these pictures.
Yeah. Egg sardo.
And when you, when you have breakfast, you tend to just have like an omelet. Well, actually, that's not true. You eat a lot of Benedicts. You do.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and
A huge fan of brunch.
I love brunch.
I never did, and now lately I have become a huge fan of brunch. All right, so should we go back to your almanac so we can go through this really quickly before we have our guest on the line?
My what?
National Deep Fried Clams Day today.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept because New Orleans.
You don't eat those fried, do you?
Huh?
You don't eat those fried, do you?
Clams?
I guess that's the only way to eat them. I'm thinking of mussels.
No, you steam them. You steam them or you can grill them.
Okay, wait. All right, so clams, you eat steamed.
Mm-hmm.
But you also eat them fried, for sure.
Fried clams. But I wouldn't recommend it.
Is that kind of chewy?
They're really chewy.
I didn't realize there were that many clams here in Lake Pontchartrain.
There are lots of them, but they're not worth eating.
Okay, so they're inferior clams.
They very much are inferior clams, and it's good for the clams that it is that way, or else we might have eaten
a bunch
more. Yeah,
we would have fished
it out already. Yeah. But if you eat them...
Well, who's eating them then?
Well, not too many people.
No, I mean, it's like, do fish eat clams? Who eats clams?
There are a lot of animals that eat clams. If there are animals out there in the Gulf of Mexico that can pick up, you know, those big shells that you can hold up to your...
Yeah, right.
Okay, that's a big, big shell.
Yeah.
There's a fish in the Gulf that can actually penetrate that shell and eat
shellfish?
Shellfish.
Yeah. So
how does it do
My question is, there are critters in the lake that are eating the clams.
One would assume, but it's not by any huge number.
Why? Because they're proliferating pretty...
No, they honestly are not liked very much by anything. They
really?
Don't know. That's really...
Well, then you would think that they would kind of get out of control if nothing's eating them.
Well, here's what happened. Before all of that went down, Lake Pontchartrain, had these boats that...
Oh, the dredgers?
And they would... Thank you for giving me the right word for that. So it would, and they would drag this all out, stirring up all the mud in the lake.
Well, that kind of killed everything.
It killed everything.
It did. We had shrimp problems, fish problems.
You could watch the level go down.
Yeah.
But here is what really grabbed me on that. When we moved to the North Shore, it was not long after that prohibition of going in and pulling up all the clams. And over a very short period of time, I was just driving whichever direction I happen to be driving, and I saw a pelican. And I looked at, look, a pelican.
Mm-hmm.
No pelicans were around back then because they had nothing left. There's your people. It's the pelicans that eat oysters. I mean, they eat the.
So pelicans go in and dive that far down to get clams?
No, they float up to the top.
And clams float on the top?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Huh,
yeah, they can come in and scoop them off.
Gosh, Tom, you know some stuff.
Oh,
don't
man,
you?
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
If only I could remember the important things. But anyway, and then I started seeing pelicans out on the causeway like every single day. What is? And now, if you go out there, they're in
bombarded,
you know, hundreds,
by pelicans,
hundreds of them. So
not really.
Well, we're pretty happy about it.
We have some pelicans. Yeah.
If you want to know the problem with clams, next time you go to New York City or anywhere in the Northeast,
I never go to New York City.
Well, if you ever get into the Northeast. Ask around. I want some baked clams or some clams and pasta.
Red sauce or something. Yeah.
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 And they'll serve it to you. It is very widely distributed.
Yeah, but those are not the same kind of clams, right?
It's
as
actually
here.
Pretty close to the same. Exactly.
Oh, so they are eating inferior clams up there. Well, what kind of clam is not inferior? Where do you get the good ones?
Well. There are three.
You don't like clams. That's it.
I don't like clams.
Yeah.
To me, they're unedible food.
Yeah.
And the variety we have.
It's a lot of trouble to eat too.
They're
it's
a
one
pain
of those
in
things
the
that are trouble to eat.
To eat.
Yeah.
There's no easy way to do it.
Yeah.
And the only time I've ever eaten them is when I was up in the Northeast in New York, upstate New York, and places like that. And then they do turn up in just about every restaurant. Everybody loves them. But if you know better, like oysters instead of those things, you'll eat the oysters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think there are people who eat a lot of oysters and a lot of clams, too, and a lot of mussels, too.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those, but there are people who do that.
Yeah. If we have anybody here who loves clams, call us up. Oh, you know what? You know who sells a lot of clams?
Who?
Chef Andrea.
Does he? Really?
And he's on our list to call today.
I don't know. I don't know if we have him today or not, probably.
Oh, well, yeah. I was told by the boss over here that he was there.
All right, 260-6368 is the number. If you would like to chat with us, you have about 10 minutes to do that before our guest calls us back and we start talking about breakfast. Mm-hmm. I started to talk a little bit about breakfast, that you like your poachies.
I do.
Yeah.
And I like it to flow.
Yeah.
And I don't like solid eggs.
You like watery
tender
eggs. You like, yeah. I don't know why you like everything that I cook for you, mainly because you won't do it yourself.
I think what anyway. You cook for me every morning, I just love.
Yeah.
Okay. I really do, genuinely.
Yeah, I've been trying to do better.
She's so beautiful, ladies and gentlemen.
260-6368 is the number. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
Hello there. Welcome back. It's the food show.
I'm glad he was yelling at you that time and not at me.
We are back with more talk about the eating, drinking, restaurants, and all that. While we were in the break-a-rooney there, I was looking up something in this book here.
This show would be a lot funnier if you could hear Doug yelling at us.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's funny.
While you're looking that up, I'm going to read something off your almanac. Do you have it right there, or are you still looking for it?
Here you go.
Are you still looking for whatever it is you're looking for in the book?
I can live.
I've got it here, Tom.
Oh, okay. Oh, you've got it. Okay.
So you're looking for something, but rather than
we've been talking about soups.
Yes.
And as one of these, I realize as I read it, it's actually usually served cold or room temperature.
Well, that kind of defeats the purpose.
Huh? Oh, yeah,
a cold
I guess
soup.
So. Yeah.
They're looking for something to warm them to their toes. Tom, why is something not food related in your almanac? Well, it's because you like it, but, you know, and I mean, it is your almanac, so you can do this. But today is George Stafford or George.
There was something about vinegar in there.
Stafford Parker.
Oh, yeah.
Born today in 1863. I know. He didn't invent the fountain pen, but he refined it so much that he could be said to have created the first modern version of it. Parker is still one of the leading names in the pen industry. And you have one, and you've been writing with it for, well, I'm just going to quote this.
Long time.
Been writing with Parker fountain pen since 1964. The one I use now for almost all of my handwriting is a much renowned Parker 75 I bought in 1974. If you have had an autographed copy of any of my books, it was signed with that good old pen.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah. Another thing I wanted to read off of the almanac is by one of the Fannie Farmer cookbook writers. It is about coffee. I quote, "In most households, a cup of coffee is considered the one thing needful at the breakfast hour. But how often this exhilarating beverage that comforteth the brain and heateth the healthful digestion."
I love the over.
I know. It's like, what is it? Who's the Thuffering Thuckatash? Who was that?
Thuffering Thuckatash.
Who did that?
That's
what character was that?
It was a
Doug.
He was
Time
a cowboy.
For Doug.
He was a cowboy.
Oh, Yosemite Sam. Yeah.
Okay. Yosemite Sam. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug.
Okay, and you're also missing. It's National Calzone Day.
Well, I didn't finish reading about
it. It's not in there.
What?
It's not in the almanac today.
Okay. Mm.
It's National Cinnamon Day also,
which is not in
there. And cinnamon. It is, however, yeah. One saving thing. It is National Authors Day.
Okay. Thank you. What's the first one you gave us?
Calzone.
I love calzones. Now, those will warm you. They'll also burn the top of your mouth. All right, so back to this quote. "Helpeth digestion is made muddy and ill-flavored. You may roast the berries to the queen's taste and grind them fresh every morning, and yet, if the golden liquid be not prepared in the most immaculate of coffee pots, with each return of morning, a new disappointment awaits you." Janet McKenzie Hill, cookbook author in the late 1800s and early 1900s and collaborator with Fannie Farmer. Is she saying that you shouldn't use a dirty coffee pot to make your
That's what
coffee?
It sounds like to me, yeah.
Well, that's kind of an obvious thing. Do you think you need to
read that
in the book?
There are some oils that mm-hmm. become the crust of
look,
that kind of stuff.
People look at me like I'm crazy, and Mary Lee calls me a big diva in restaurants, and I will admit to that, okay? I will admit to that. But I think it goes back to that ability that I have to taste coffee anywhere. I don't like the taste of coffee. So if the tea that I'm drinking has ever been put in a pot that had coffee in it, even if it's been cleaned, it tastes like coffee to me.
Oh, well, it
could
be worse.
So they should not mix those two things. Maybe it's a dirty coffee pot. as that woman said. She didn't say it in those words, but anyway, if it's not been properly prepared for the beverage you're drinking that morning. 260-6368 is the number. We have a guest at the bottom of the hour. She thought we had her at the last hour, so if she's not mad and calls us back, then we're gonna talk to her at the bottom of the hour. So if you want to chat with us, give us a call now, 260-6368.
We're almost at the bottom of the
hour. We are almost at the bottom of the hour. So looking for good soups around town, good clear soups.
Oh, I love clear soups. Not all of them.
You don't get them too much.
You don't get them too much. They're kind of on the rare side.
It's very rare.
But when you get the right one and the right herbs that are in there and the...
It's hard to beat a good chicken noodle soup.
Chicken noodle soups are real good.
It's hard to beat a good chicken noodle soup.
I think that it could be said, and you could get away with this as not saying anything completely preposterous. And that is that if you have an idea for a soup, and you know what?
You like your tomato basil soup, don't you?
I do
love tomato basil soup.
Tomato basil, yeah, I really do.
Yeah, who's got the best tomato basil soup in town?
Well, for a long time, it was Zia, believe it or not. But they don't even have it anymore, not when I go there.
Poor Tom. He likes all these things that then disappear. You know why, Tom? Because you're the only one who likes them.
Well, you know, so.
Mole poblano, lamb ribs, tomato basil soup.
All these are very good things.
I know they are, but they don't sell enough of it.
I know. It's
a
problem.
And you don't go every day to buy it. So.
But then again, eating something only seldom kind of in some ways makes it taste even better.
True. It makes it more desirable, the wait. For sure. Mm-hmm. Unless it's chocolate. And then it would still be desirable no matter when.
It would be.
Yeah. 260-6368 is the number. I'm trying to think of some other soups that are not cream-based.
This was the one that I was trying to get out, but it wouldn't go through the door. A lot of Asian cuisines have unbelievably great.
Yes.
My favorite one of all are just in general Thai soups. Uh-huh. I love Thai soups. You don't even have to get it made really spicy, which is the way they usually want to make it. But if you tell them, knock it down a little bit, there's even a little index on the side that'll tell you how to do that. And then you put the two things together and you have got something very, very agreeable.
Yeah, you know what? I forgot to tell Michael that you could go to MoFo and get a huge seeping hot bowl of the pho. Mm-hmm. And it's got the chicken in it and it's got the rice noodles in it. And
everything
it's probably
under the
not
sun,
like
really.
You would get in Minneapolis, but if you're looking to get warmed all the way to your toes, that's probably a good place to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Those Vietnamese soups are excellent and they're enormous. It's like you eat that and you're not hungry the rest of the day.
It's certainly true. Yeah. Hey, did you know that Susan was waiting for us?
I don't know if it's Susan or Suzanne.
No, it says Susan here, but Susan. We'll find out.
Let's
I might
go to
be
Susan.
Wrong. It probably is.
Susan.
Susan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Well,
hi.
I'm glad you called. Thank you for being there.
I have lots of soups.
Oh,
you
tell
do.
Us about
Good.
Some of them.
Okay. Jamila's Cafe has a delicious spinach crawfish zucchini bisque.
Jamila?
That is good.
Where
Jamila's Cafe. Tunisian cuisine on Maple.
On Maple Street, and she also
They're terrific.
And that soup is delicious. Tal's Hummus on Magazine Street mm-hmm. has a delicious lentil soup, a green lentil soup that's very similar to split pea.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
lentil soups are great.
Yes.
And let me see. Now I'm forgetting. I didn't make a list.
I
should.
Espados
has
a great lentil soup when they have it.
Let's see what else I was thinking. Well, those two are good. Oh, I know. Oak Oven has a delicious potato soup that they only have during the winter.
Mm. Yeah. But have you had their spicy
delicious.
Pumpkin with the crab meat?
I don't like pumpkin soup.
Yeah, but have you ever? Try, like, I wouldn't say I'm a pumpkin soup kind of person, but I did it once because it had crab in it, and I'm just, I'm crazed over it. I love that soup.
Well, he makes delicious soup.
He does.
I've had some of his other soup.
Yes.
The other is Cubant has a delicious potato soup.
Mm-hmm.
And Vayun, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly, but she has a delicious onion soup.
Oh, I bet you that is good. Yeah, that's a great little place, cute little place. Yeah.
So that's my list.
Thank you for calling. Those are all good suggestions. Appreciate it.
Thank you for calling. We have Pam hanging on.
Wait, I'm sorry. Go ahead. What?
We have Pam waiting on the green phone.
Susan's not finished. Susan?
Oh, Susan?
Did you have something else? No.
Oh, okay. No, Thanks for calling.
And, all right, Pam?
Pam, are you there?
Pam?
I never could figure out.
What Dana?
Wait, what?
Hello? Hello there. This is Tom Fitzmaurice on The Food Show.
Okay, so your name is Christina and not Pam?
Hi. No, this is Dana.
Dana. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi, Dana. We're all messed up today, aren't we? Goodness.
Friday after Halloween.
I guess.
That must be
okay, it. So let's go ahead and chat with you, but it'll probably be just a little chat.
Well, you never
and then,
know.
Well, no, he's had pushed Andrea back. So, okay. Hi. I'm sorry for the mix-up. This is Dana Moose.
No, you know what? It was my end because I put it on my calendar according to Central Time, and for some reason it didn't show me Central Time. You know.
Well, anyway, here you are. And you're here to talk about your beautiful book, The Art of Breakfast, which it can be, huh?
Yes.
When I heard about that, I thought to myself, that is a brilliant idea. And I had to stop and think whether I've ever run into a cookbook about breakfast, and I couldn't think of anything. And I have about 500.
I was about to say, we have books on macaroni and cheese. We have
really?
Books just about walnuts. We have books about ancient grains. I find it hard to believe that we have none on breakfast, but I think he could be right. I think this might be the first one I've
seen. Isn't
that crazy?
Too. Yeah.
Well,
that's
so
great.
What made you do it? Why'd you decide to write a book
about
it?
She was hungry.
Well, long story short, my husband and I bought a bed and breakfast in 2004. And my passion was cooking, and so I decided I just wanted to put as much effort into breakfast and making it special as restaurants do at dinner time. Because everybody just assumes, oh, it's just breakfast. It's just breakfast. Right. It's eggs. It's easy. And so I said, well, I'm going to show them just what breakfast can be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started, and this was back before Instagram, before people were taking pictures with their phones.
Yeah.
And people, our guests used to go run upstairs and say, hold on, let me go get my camera, the real camera, and come back down and take pictures of breakfast, which was so much fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
So they just, you know, I just really was committed to doing something special. And I loved when I would hear people say, I've never had this before. I've never seen this before. Wow. You know, and all of that. So after we owned the inn for about 5 years, and then long story short, I became a B&B broker. So I just sell hotels, motels, and bed and breakfast.
Oh, no kidding.
And so the company that I was working with has seminars. So kind of like you think you want to be an innkeeper type of seminar. And I said, I want to have seminars that are just like 3-hour workshops for existing innkeepers who, let's say, want help with cooking, who want help with marketing, all of these things. And so one of my innkeeper friends said, if you have something on plating and garnishing, I will come to that, because he knew what I did at breakfast and he just wasn't willing to put that effort into it, and thought, well, I'll come take your class. And I said, you know what, you're on. And so then I posted a 3-hour workshop called The Art of Breakfast, and I sort of named it after our inn's breakfast page, which was called The Art of Breakfast. And so it was just that. There were 8 attendees that were innkeepers that came, and we spent 3 hours simply talking about how to garnish, how to make your plates look beautiful without ever compromising quality. And so after that, so I got a message on Facebook. This is in 2010 from the publisher who at the time was just, it was Down East Magazine, and I was following them and they were following me. And he sent me a message and said, do you mind if I come with my editor to that class? It seems interesting. And at the time, I just really thought, wow, maybe they'll write an article or something about what we're doing and put it in the magazine, because the subscribership to that magazine, there are a lot of people that just travel to Maine on vacation. And I loved that magazine ever since way before we moved to Maine. So I said, no, sure, you're welcome to do that. And I really didn't think much of it. And then after class, his editor, he introduced me to the editor, and she pulled me aside, and she said, do you have a minute to talk? And I said, sure. And this is literally how it went. And she said, have you ever written a cookbook? And I said, no. And she said, would you like to? And I said, sure. Seriously? And that's how The Art of Breakfast came about, because she said, I think you have something special here.
You did.
Like, people think they can just cook breakfast and it's fine, but they don't spend the time and the effort like I have on breakfast.
Yeah.
And so that's how it came about. And that was in 2010, and it was published in 2011. And then we just published the second edition, which just came out in August.
Yeah,
and it's really been an opportunity for me to do a lot more since over these past, 10 years since I wrote that, almost 10, 9, I've come a long way with just how wow I can get with breakfast.
Yeah, plating. Yes.
Yes. I, we eat with our eyes first.
Yeah, we do. You absolutely do. All right, we're going to take a break, so we need to take a little break.
Okay.
And I would like you to, and it's really unfortunate that we don't have a whole lot of time, but I would like you to go through your trajectory from being an innkeeper. You're in Maine, you said, right?
I am.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, that's a kind of cool place to do that sort of thing. So I would love to talk some more about breakfast and about the book, because people should really go look for the book. It's a beautiful book. But also about people who have this fantasy of kind of hopping around up there and things that you might guide them to do. 260-6368. We're talking to Dana Moose, who is she's not an innkeeper anymore, but it's kind of complicated.
Right.
She'll explain it when we come back. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
It's The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice, along with Marianne and all of the people who have come to visit us today. And we had Dana. Is Dana still with us?
Dana's on with
us. I'm still here.
Hi, yes. Dana. Yeah. Welcome to The Food Show.
So
Thank you for having me.
Are you in Maine exactly?
So I am what we call mid-coast Maine. So we're pretty much right between the Maine border with New Hampshire and Acadia National Park. Mm. That's where I am.
Oh, okay.
So
nice.
Right along the coast. Yeah.
And it's nice and warm over there, isn't it?
Hey, I'll tell you, today was like 63 degrees, and it was beautiful.
It's 63.
63.
Well, it might be cold for you.
We'd be screaming if we were at this time of year having
November,
numbers.
In November, it's 63 there?
Yes. Oh,
wow.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's normally, temperature's normally about 55 right now, daytime.
Is that right?
So
well, when does
nice.
It get brutally cold?
Well, see, there's a secret. It doesn't, I'll tell you, we don't get as cold, especially coastal, as like anywhere around the lake effect states, the Buffalo and Michigan.
Really?
All of those states are, but because we're especially tempered by the water, the closer you are to the coast.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes Boston will get more snow and be colder than we are on the coast of Maine, even though we're much further east. We could be 3 hours. I'm about 3 hours from Boston.
Yeah. Having done a few cruises that way, I can assure you that you're correct.
Yeah, it's. Are you from there? Or is that where you were born?
No, I was born in Washington, D.C.
Oh, gosh.
And lived in the suburbs in Maryland until we decided to move to Maine in 2004.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We went there after Hurricane Katrina. We went to D.C.
Oh, yeah.
D.C., but
and
no.
our son, in the course of trying to figure out what to do, he was in high school, was absorbed by.
He graduated from there, and then he's now in California.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Okay, so let's get back to your cooking. So you've I guess, been someone who likes to cook your whole life.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and most of what I can remember,
One of the motivations for becoming an innkeeper was that, or just you just gravitated toward it?
It was both, the cooking aspect and being able to work for yourself. It's basically every buyer that I work with, it's the same dream to be able to get out of the rat race, out of road rage and traffic, and work for yourself, be your own boss, and work for the lifestyle of living. You can make more money elsewhere, for the most part, and it's not always about money. It's about the lifestyle. And we wanted to live in Maine and experience the lifestyle of Maine. So this was definitely just one of those options where you buy a home and it's also your business.
Uh-huh.
And it's a nice mixture of all of that.
And there's a lot of people doing that there, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, just
we have a lot of inns in Maine. Yeah,
in Maine and all over the New England area, and even a little bit into Canada.
Yeah,
like as for an example, Halifax.
Okay.
By the way, I just heard that the fish of the day at Halifax is halibut. So
that's like a running joke. If it doesn't happen in the show every day, then something even weirder could happen. So you've been sort of vaccinated, Dana, from something even weirder by that. So let's quickly get a little bit to the book. So the book is beautiful for sure. What are some of your favorite recipes in the book?
Actually, the cover is definitely a favorite, so I like to mix a little bit of different areas of, you know, like South meets Maine with lobster and fried green tomatoes, although the cover photo, I used shrimp instead of lobster. The next cookbook I'm going to do, I'm going to have the lobster on it, but I like to combine different cultures and have lots of sauces, and my favorite thing really is to do my version of Eggs Benedict, which will never be on an English muffin and will never have just a piece of Canadian bacon.
I got to hear this.
Say, wow.
I've got to hear this because I'm a big fan of that kind of cooking.
Okay.
There
are 12 recipes in here just of poached egg dishes where I replace the English muffin with some kind of vehicle, often some kind of a carb. It could be a risotto cake. It could be seared polenta, it could be a fried green tomato, something where it's that vessel holding the egg. And then, like, one of my favorites is a potato pancake with a piece of homemade corned beef, and I have a mustard cream and a poached egg. So the mustard, instead of a hollandaise, I've got a mustard
that
cream
sounds,
butter.
That sounds fantastic.
You know? Yeah.
Am I the only one who thinks
no,
so?
No, I agree. I want to try that.
That sounds wonderful.
This is not really breakfast as I think of it, though. This is brunch, wouldn't you say?
Brunch.
Yeah, it's definitely
brunch. Yeah.
This is. I look at those gorgeous, gorgeous pages of food, and I think this is like dinner. You know, I mean, this is really glamorous food.
Yeah, it could be. It could be a lot of innkeepers I know are using some of the recipes because they say it makes them look good, which makes me feel good. But if they're not going to have it, if they're not going to do all this elaborate stuff that I do at breakfast, it's definitely something you can do with your friends and family for brunch or lunch or dinner.
Yeah.
See, a lot of people like to eat dinner, breakfast for dinner, as long as it's not, we're just not talking scrambled eggs and pancakes.
Oh, no, you're definitely not talking scrambled eggs and pancakes. I mean, this is a gargantuan amount of sophisticated food.
My key is that I use everyday ingredients that with some advanced prep, you can put all of this together, not last minute, but with advanced prep. Because if I was to put all of these together the day of or the morning of, I'd be in the kitchen at like 2 a.m.
Yeah, right.
So that's not always practical.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like everyday food put together in sophisticated ways.
Okay, I would like you to tell people how to get the book. We unfortunately messed this up totally because I should have told you to call back at 4 because I would love to talk to you more, but we have to talk to someone else who calls us on a routine basis. So we can't talk a whole lot longer.
We can talk again.
Pardon me? Okay.
I said we can talk again.
I would love to talk to you again because I would love to talk about your lifestyle too. So we'll reschedule you for a lengthier interview. But can you tell people how to get the book?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure they would like to.
Yeah, well, the easiest way is on Amazon. I do sell it directly, but I wouldn't really want to keep up with the volume, so I'm not trying to push it. The only difference is I send them a signed copy.
Mm-hmm.
But Amazon, yeah, so just The Art of Breakfast, they're both editions on Amazon, but the first edition is out of print. So if it's there, it's just they probably don't have a lot left. But
okay.
I really like the second edition better. It's, you know, I've come a long way in the 9 years between the first and this one.
Well, it sounds to me like you're moving into the direction now away from the inn so much and more to being a book author.
Nothing wrong with that.
It's fun. I appreciate now what an editor does and actually what any writer does, really. But I don't know that I'm ready to do that, devote it, you know, my life to it full time. If I was fully retired, I would love to do that.
Uh-huh. You have a great name for a person in Maine. Has anyone
Maine,
told you
right?
that?
Yes. That's why when I say what my last name is, I say M-O-O-F, no E, because it's natural. They just want to write the E.
But it's such a great name for what you're doing and where you are, for sure. I wish we could talk to you longer, Dana. Thank you for calling. We will definitely reschedule you when we can talk a little bit more about the whole, you know what, maybe in the spring when people, like, it's probably kind of shutting down now in terms of visiting up there in the bed and breakfast world. Is that true or no?
It's getting quieter. I mean, depending on there's snowmobiling and skiing and things like that in the winter, but it's definitely slower than it is in the summer.
Okay. I'm going to get a hold of you. We're going to reschedule you for a little bit longer chat. Okay.
Okay. That would be great.
Thank you very much. Dana Moose.
Nice talking to you, and hope to see you in person maybe someday.
The Art of Breakfast. This is a beautiful book. Folks, if you would like to do some brunch kind of food that will dazzle your guests, this is a good book to get. Hello, Chef Andrea.
Hey, beautiful Bella. Ciao, Bella.
Hey, TGIF.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
How you doing, my friend? I'm drifting along like the tumbling tumbleweeds.
Okay, well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you both. And today's Friday. Uh-huh. It's a wonderful, wonderful, great weather for beautiful pasta fagioli.
Oh, yes.
I love this weather for the pasta fagioli soup or a nice, wonderful vegetable soup.
Okay, you know what? Did you hear this, Andrea? Were you listening to the show? Because somebody was looking for soups like this.
Oh, no, I was not.
Okay.
I was busy
Michael,
in the kitchen.
Michael, if you're still out there listening, Chef Andrea has two great soups that will warm the cockles of your girlfriend's heart. Go ahead.
And we all love warm cockles, let me tell you.
Go ahead.
And also, one of my favorite today, too. It's also like a wonderful fish chowder, like a stew, you know?
Ooh.
It's got all kinds of fresh fish in there, and it's got some carrot, celery, got some potato, brunoise in there.
Every Friday, really, don't you?
Yeah, it's a wonderful fish chowder.
Good.
I love this, wonderful. I get a lot of people coming.
So it's like a white, creamy soup?
No, not creamy.
Oh,
I kept it lighter. No, lighter, healthier.
Okay.
Yeah, lots of fresh herbs in there, wonderful little touch of pepperoncino. Onions, garlic, extra virgin olive oil.
Well, Andrea, what's different from that and a bouillabaisse?
Almost close exception as no shellfish.
Ah, okay.
Like, you know, mussels and clams, you know,
whole,
because we served all these wonderful shrimps and all kinds of bountiful fish, but no shell from the mussels and clams in there. But other than that, it's almost like a bouillabaisse exception. You know, it's no saffron in there.
Is there tomato in it?
Light tomato,
It's
a nice light color, like Aurora color, Aurora sauce, like Aurora soup. You know, it's really wonderful. It's delicious, but also because it's this time of the year, it's nice and warm, healthy, and delicious.
Yeah.
Always everything fresh in there. But I'd like to talk about Tom Marion. Please let your listener know that we have Thanksgiving not far from we are talking about right now. It's in the corner, right next corner. And we'd like to make a reservation. We open from 11 to 8 p.m. We have three-course meal. And, of course, we love children. Children welcome. We have children menu also. Amply free, lots of parking. We are one of probably the only restaurant in the city, in Justice Parish, I'm sorry, to have such a big, huge parking. So you don't have to worry fighting parking, pay so much money for parking. You can come right here on 19th Street in Ridgeland. A location 3100 Andres Restaurant, Blaney Park. You can park. If it rains, hopefully not, you can park right across the attache, and you can let the guests come in. We have a handicap bathroom, handicap accessory right in. I would love to have you. But this is a wonderful menu, and it's $45 per person, and we open from 11 to 8 and 9 times. So we'd love to have you. Please make a reservation, as you know, because people I always want to come at the same time. Tom, you know that 11, 11:30, everybody wants to come at 1:30, 1 o'clock, 1:30. So please spread the hours around, and we'd love to have you.
This
we have
is,
a lot of wonderful.
This is Valentine's Day.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, okay.
We have the turkey, the classical turkey with the oyster dressing or the
And you're getting $47 for that? That's
45.
$45. Well, you're letting them steal that from you.
Well, it's okay. We have a nice, wonderful menu for everybody. We have roast prime rib. We have speckled trout with crab meat. We have a white veal with crab meat on top, marsala, piccata. We have a lot of wonderful, the roast duckling, the rotisserie.
Mm,
we have
that.
Some beautiful, yeah, pork chop, double cut pork chop with chamberry, cherry, and sauce. We're a wonderful menu for everybody. Creamy ravioli, of course, one of the entrees. Lots of wonderful choose from, and of course, desserts. We have pecan pie, we have apple pie, we have pumpkin, we have lots of wonderful homemade, all desserts made from scratch, carrot cake. We have a lot of wonderful dishes that made here and from scratch. We love to have homemade bread, of course. The bread's going to be delicious at the table. Everybody wants to buy the bread, order one of the recipe, but it's a lot of wonderful things that we do it, Andrea.
And I'm sure the atmosphere is going to be filled with the warmth and camaraderie of everyone
absolutely
having a big holiday meal like at home.
Yes. And also we decorate for Christmas. You know, it's going to be next around the corner.
I know.
Always do that for Thanksgiving. So we love to have, and the children love to come here because we have so much Christmas tree light up and beautiful decorations. So it's really wonderful.
We have one of our grandchildren who wants to come in and cook.
Oh, I can't believe it. Well, it's wonderful. Bring it in.
Yeah, and he's willing to work for, you know, like...
But all of his recipes, I warn you, Andre, they start with sprinkles.
Oh, wonderful. I like that. That's so sweet. That's so beautiful. I can't wait to see it. Please bring it in. We bring him in a pastry bakery shop, and he was having fun in there to make him cook over there, make him do whatever he wants. Pizza dough, bread dough, cake dough.
You know what? We're going to take you up on that. We will.
Please do, because I love to have that. I love to see. But he must be a tech after you, Tom. He loves to do what you're doing.
Well, he's chasing after me. Yeah, that's what.
No, it takes after you because you love to cook. You enjoy cooking.
I do.
He's a good
yeah
cook. Yes,
yeah,
he is.
I know
you anyway
do. No, it's wonderful. It's really great. But tonight in Cabaret Blue, we have Frank Sinatra. It's wonderful. And then tomorrow night we have
Wait a minute. You have Frank Sinatra.
Musician. That does
it's the day
everything
of the jazz.
Oh, he does,
so yes,
he does an
Frank
imitation.
Sinatra.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, his name is Jeff, and he's been known around the city. And he comes from 8 to 11, and he does unbelievable replica of Frank Sinatra. He sounds just like him.
Yeah?
It's incredible. It's amazing. And then tomorrow night, which everybody loves opera, there's Kevin, which a lot of people know Kevin at the... He's a wonderful maestro. He's going to be opera night tomorrow night with all the wonderful. There's a lady there. I was very shocked. She was only 14 years old, and she was singing opera about a week
Wait,
ago.
14?
Oh, my God.
So that's
oh,
not a lady. Right. That's
school.
A...
Yeah,
that's
she a... goes to school, and she sings opera already.
Oh, wow.
And, oh, my God, what a beautiful voice she has.
Some of the young people who are in music, and I
there's a lot of them.
Yeah, the organization that I'm in, the North Shore
Performing Arts Society.
Thank you. And it's astonishing some of these young people.
Wonderful.
And
yes,
what unbelievably great musicians there are.
Incredible.
I mean, it shames me. I bet
I was so proud of her. Oh my God.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And I grew up in Italy, as you know, with like opera.
Right, yeah, you like your opera.
It's wonderful.
Hey, Andrea,
but come and join us.
We'd
love to have you.
Was there a big bunch of costume people in there last night?
Oh, my God. Well, you won't believe it. Oh, I got so scared. One guy came with, like, you know, three times my size belly. Was so fat.
That does sound really good.
What fun. Okay.
We had a lot of fun.
All right, Andrea, give us a number.
We have a lot of witches, a lot of different, oh, beautiful costume.
Yeah.
One gentleman with costume, I can't say in the radio, but he was dressed as, you know, unbelievable. I was shocked. He really scared the hell out of me, anyway. But I know it was wonderful. It was really nice.
Oh, good.
Great.
All right. So give him the number.
And Andrea, this is 834-8583. From all of us, Andrea, we say thank you for all your support for 35 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Home is your home. Ciao, grazie, arrivederci a tutti. Ciao, Tom.
Bye.
Ciao, Bella, Marianne. Come
see
today.
You.
Bye.
Ciao.
There he goes. Gosh.
Well,
see,
I think we have screeched into the system.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious. I might have to go out on Halloween next year, see what's happening out there.
Nothing, I'll tell you that right now.
We had a pretty boring one last night. Anyway, we have reached the end of the week here on The Food Show.
You always know.
Join us again on Monday.
Count Basie comes on and plays this piece of music, which I think is terrific.
Yeah.
George Benson, yeah, I know. That's who performed it. But it's a great song. All right.
WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
Yep.
Have a wonderful evening, a great meal. Good night. Have a good
weekend.
We
will be back Monday.
Poor Boy Festival Sunday.
Poor Boy
Don't
Festival.
Miss it. Poor Boy yeah. Festival.
Yeah, good. I'm judging somewhere along the way
yeah,
there.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
All right. All good right. night, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.